Hey, it's Kevin Shoemaker here with the Real Estate Doctors. As always, we always want to bring as much value as we possibly can. And today I want to share a recent podcast that I did with my good friend, John Kitchens, one of the top real estate coaches, highly sought after in the U.S., and Jay Kinder, one of the top real estate agents in the country, selling well over 500 transactions before he even hit the age of 30. So these guys always bring an enormous amount of value. And what we did in this podcast was, we really talked about the market. We really talked about how it's affecting agents from single agents to large teams. And we talked about some of the forecasting, where we feel the market's going, some of the different trends and cycles as well. So again, we're going to share that with you, but don't forget, make sure you hit the subscribe, share the podcast. We're going to continue to bring the love as always. And we look forward to also catching you on the next podcast also.
Welcome to the Real Estate Doctors. As you're navigating the waters of this real estate market, you're going to need a prescription that fits exactly what you need to do to move your business to the next level.
If you like what you're hearing, hit the subscribe button. Make sure you like it. We'll continue to send the love and send the nuggets.
What is happening, everybody, man? Thank you guys for tuning in. Little power hour. We got a special treat today. We got three of us in the house. Didn't even realize coming together. It's usually, we always joke, my favorite conversations are the ones that just happen. And so as we jump in here, I know today is going to be no different. So we've got Mr. Kevin Shoemaker in the house from cold Fort Collins.
Yes, sir.
Colorado. And then of course we've got Cuz over in Paradise in the sunshine. Sending some our way.
Giving y'all some warmth.
Kev, I want to jump in right away with you. And I know, you know, some of the rabbit holes you've been going down, and there's some, I don't know how much you want to kind of open up and dive into, but you've had kind of an inside perspective of really kind of what's going on in the world of real estate, kind of behind the curtain that most people aren't even aware of. And I don't know how much you want to dive into or how much you can share, but we'd love to just kind of where your perspective has been over the last, you know, several months, majority of this year, but really, you know, really focused over the last several months of kind of understanding really what's happening in the country as it pertains to real estate.
Yeah, no, I'd love to, you know, dive into that. It's, you know, beginning of the year was interesting because we were, if I go back into the first of the year, and we were getting all these multiple offers, and it was just crazy, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 over list, and, you know, writing 8, 9, 10, 15 contracts and not getting them accepted. It was like, okay, who's actually buying something? You know, obviously, you know, the sellers wanted all these inflated values, but my focus was like, who's buying? And that's where we dove into the large corporate or institutional investor. And so we got involved in the cash offers, where we started going really deep into certain markets, and we were finding off market properties at volume. In 90 days, we sold over 300 homes in 90 days in 14 different markets. So we're like, okay, how do we expand? And so we went on a really fast run, and then all of a sudden the market just pivoted and shifted really quickly. So in July, we're like, what the hell happened here? And so, we're trying to, you know, really dial in and figure out, okay, which way is the market going? What's happening? And so we went from fast growth, and all of a sudden we went flat. And now what we're seeing is the opposite. So we went from acquisitions with these large investors to now the ramp up of potentially dispositions. But when we went flat, there was this pause with the consumer, because the consumer thought that values were continuing to go up and up and up. So we were really hammering with our agents on educating and trying to educate the consumer of where we are, where we're going, because they're gonna believe their own narrative in their head unless you give them solid data and facts. So that was the direction where we pivoted. And now all of a sudden what we're seeing is a huge buildup in defaults. And so that's where we've been for the last probably 45 to 60 days, is working with our data teams on the defaults. But what we found was, is when we started I want to say the last numbers I heard, there is approximately 5% of all homeowners, which is about that carry a mortgage, which is about 8 million homeowners are in default, somewhere between 3 to 5 payments behind. And so what we did is we started reaching out to them and delivering different messages to market. And what we learned was, is what you say really matters. Each word you use really matters and how you can relate, because these people have been hammered and hammered and hammered. Because if you're late on your mortgage, you're probably late on your car payment. You're probably late on your credit card payment. You probably have changed your cell phone number 3 or 4 times. So you have to be very strategic in how you connect with them. But what we found was originally there people were in denial. And then now what we're seeing is 30, 45 days later, now they're calling us back and they're saying, hey, can we talk about that? Hey, now they're starting to look for solutions. And I truly believe that that will pick up significantly in first quarter, especially, you know, January, February.
Yeah. And cause I want your perspective, just because of where you're at and where you live and the conversations that you're having. And I remember, you know, Stuman kind of sharing the example, just being a student of the DFW market and paying attention to defaults. And I forget, and I'm going to butcher the numbers, but it was like 3,600 homes in default in DFW, the whole Metroplex at any given time. And as we were going through, you know, the end of 2021, you know, he said that number was now was less than 100. And he's like, where do you think that, like, they haven't gone away? Like, they're still there. It's just a matter of time. And, you know, I always share the example. I had Nolly Williams on Expert Mentors Live in February of 20. And he said one of the top niches to pay attention to is notice of defaults. And then everything that happened in 2021, which just delayed the process. And then I had him back on earlier this year. And he said, one of the top niches is notice of defaults. And it's interesting talking to people and they're like, well, there's not that many notice of defaults out there. And then hearing the statistics and hearing what Kevin's sharing and, you know, just all of the examples and the things that we know to be true. So they're there. That's, you know, those opportunities are going to be there. Our messages, the guaranteed sale, cash offers are really going to resonate. But, you know, from your vantage point, which I love, just in the high net worth, and you're seeing the massive drops in property values and where you're at and things still not moving, like, kind of perspective real estate wise. I mean, like, what are you experiencing? What are you seeing from your vantage point?
Yeah, it's super fascinating here. Because things went up so dramatically fast. And then now, you know, they were, you know, 4,000 market the other day at 1,000 a foot. So massive shift in a pretty short period of time. I mean, as fast as it went up, as it seems to be coming down. It's interesting. You know, there's you know, in this community, there's a lot of people that got hurt too. Right. And so a lot of people have moved out that can't afford to live here anymore. That's been something that, you know, we've seen a lot of our friends and people that we met when we first got here that have already left and gone back to the States and whatnot. And then you've got a large, you know, base of crypto folks that live here as well. They've got destroyed as well. But yeah, so it's definitely, it feels like it's more real here and than maybe, you know, what it is, you know, in other parts of the country. You know, I think that, you know, when people get hit and their high net worth, you know, it changes behavior pretty quickly, right? In terms of what they're willing to invest in or buy. It's been definitely a palatable here.
Yeah. Yeah. I can, you know, just hearing some of the stories that you've shared, and it's just really fascinating. And then, you know, I think what makes us so unique, not only being able to work with so many agents across, you know, the country over the years, but, you know, just the multiple perspectives from actually running businesses in polar opposite markets. Right. Mm-hmm. So yep. Understanding, you know, really kind of even from the Lawton market of really, really what's going on. And, you know, I haven't caught up with Stason Reedy in a few weeks, but, you know, has your dad, you know, kind of mentioned anything kind of what's happening, you know, in the Lawton area?
Yeah. It slowed down dramatically. You know, I mean, I think this is pretty well everywhere. Everybody I talk to, you know, buyers are just sitting on the fence. You know, they're kind of paralyzed as to what to do. Same with sellers. I mean, you know, should we sell? Should we wait? You know, they've got equity. I think that's one big difference in this market versus the last, is it seems, and Kevin, you might have a little more data on this than I would, but it seems to me like, you know, there's going to be room for quite an adjustment in real estate. And, you know, these people probably can sell, most of them, unless they bought in the last couple of years, would have the ability to sell. And I think the statistics I was looking at from KCM and the Dallas market was, you know, in 2020 to 2021, real estate increased by 50%, appreciation 50% in 2 year period. Wow. That's just, it's insane. So anybody who bought, you know, within 2 years or longer, certainly have the ability to sell if we get a hold of them, you know?
Well, and that's where I feel that it, for many, it's when you go back to the last time we had a massive shift in the market was 14 years ago. And so you look at, you know, the average agent's been in the market, what, maybe 5 years, 7 years in the business. And so, you know, as leaders, it is so important to make sure that you're spending the time with your agents so they have some success. And that's what we're just seeing. So many agents that are out there that are, you know, they're, you know, they may look like a duck on the surface, you know, nice and calm, but down below their fins are paddling, their flaps are paddling super fast because they're worried, they're concerned. And so the biggest thing we're focused on is audience and message. Like who are we targeting? Like you could say defaults, but it's like that's a big spread. Like you said, if you bought in the last 12 months, not that you're in trouble. I mean, if you have to sell, like it's a bad situation because more than likely you didn't put an enormous amount of money down and you're going to sell at a loss. So, you know, it's really what's that exit strategy, and it's probably keeping it and renting it. I don't know, but you know, it depends on the circumstance versus if you go back, you know, 2 if not 3 years, and before, there's definitely some equity there. But even with those people, it's a matter of it's all messaging. So when you're reaching out and you're on the phone, email, whatever it is, the words you use is really, really important to resonate with them, and just offer those solutions. You know, going back to postcards and you know, I go back to the book I loved, you know, Tell to Win, tell a story they can relate to with an outcome they desire. And that's where we're seeing our wins and being consistent, because many agents in this market in the last, I'd say, 12 months aren't patient. And so they're used to the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. And they got the deal done. And that doesn't happen now. It's you got to be persistent and you got to be consistent.
Yeah. Because so, you know, agents listening into this and hearing that, what Kevin just said, I mean, like, what are some of the activities, you know, that, you know, delayed gratification, although you can manufacture wins daily. Like what are a lot of the activities or a handful of activities that agents that, like Kevin was sharing, that have only been in the game, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, like where do they need to be given their attention and their focus?
Key to the whole game is going to be, you know, are you following up when people are, you know, are ready to actually do something? And you know, it's not going to be the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. As Kevin was saying, it's going to be the agents that stay in touch, build relationship, try to genuinely understand and care, and are consistent and persistent. I think Kevin said it best. That's going to be where the game is won. And those agents that don't learn that are at risk for sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things that I noticed at boot camp on Monday when I was walking them through just even the goal setting exercise, right? You know, the personal action plan that you've used for 20 years. And, you know, ultimately getting clear on the targets and being ultimately responsible of how we hit our goals or we didn't, just really how many of them didn't understand even that concept of how to reverse out, you know, a revenue target and, you know, what's their average sales price, their average commission, you know, just even getting it down to really into the fundamentals. And, you know, anybody listening in that's struggling with that, if you're kind of, you know, one to two deals per month average, you're struggling, you're on your own. You know, I think you've got two options. One, get on a great team, or two, get into some great coaching. Because if not, I don't know, the deck is not stacked in your favor. I just noticed that just even with the simplicity of, okay, how many deals do you need to do? And then what are the activities to make that true has really been, it was eye-opening to see how many people that just didn't even know, you know, some of the things that I think we just take, just because we've done it for so long, we take for granted.
I'm curious. Hey, Kevin, I'm curious, what are the scenarios that you're running into most often with these notice of defaults? What situation did they get themselves into where they were unable to make payments? Is there something that you're seeing that's a common thread around that, around the situations, or no?
I think every market is different. You know, certain things we're running into with our Birmingham team versus our team in Colorado, they're different. Example in Colorado, we had such a spike and people were having to reach and barely qualify just to get into a home. You're having rising HOA fees. I mean, I think in general, people are just strapped and they have any little bleep or burp in their income, in their job. And they're strapped and they're tight. There's just no buffer. And that's where, you hear a lot of people talking about, the credit card debt is at an all-time high and people are tapping into all of their equity positions and extracting that. And that's where I really feel, based on the numbers, what we're watching, that January, February is going to hit people really hard. But typically we're seeing it's from the financial side of just they can't afford it.
Yeah. Makes sense. I mean, you know, when you look at, the average, person's spend, I mean, their incomes haven't gone up the last 2 years, but the inflation has been through the roof. So everything that you purchase, everything that you had a budget around, is probably blown. And if you didn't have a lot of room and a lot of savings, then you certainly would be at risk. I can see that.
You know, there was a gentleman told me, he was dropping some stuff off at KT last week. And he said, he had moved out of the DFW area, and this goes back to, I think, what Kev just said, their payment, they were barely able to get in there with it, but with the rise of property taxes just pushed their payment to where it just, cause I mean, he said, shit, he goes, our property taxes. And we know, I mean, even when we sold before we moved back up here, I mean, it was, 10,000-11,000 a year. And so just that right there, as that continues to rise, pushes that payment over, I could see. And that was a pain point for him. And that's why they ultimately sold, relocated up into Oklahoma. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely concerning for a lot of people. Awesome. Kev, anything else that that you guys are kind of seeing or that's resonating as you guys are taking this strategy and kind of where you guys are focused?
I'd say the big thing that we're getting most of our wins right now with our agents and the growth of our agents and our team is really being hyper focused with them on where they're spending their time. And so again, I go back, not to pick on the agent that's been in the business a few years, life's all about timing and opportunities, but when agents get in, there was so much abundance. And now that the market is contracted, it's really looking at going back to what are the five or six key pillars of lead generation. And people, get tired of hearing that on our podcast, but it's like, that's really the focus is, you may not be that person that wants to call cold leads. That's fine. What is it that's really in line with your skill set? Are you the social worker type where you want to go, be face to face and help people? Great. Then go farm your neighborhood, whatever it is, really helping them go deep on what resonates with them. And then they're going to do those daily activities and win and succeed. But that's where we're going is just, we're spending a lot of time with our agents. We started something here about 30 days ago where we're doing 15 minutes. It's called Scripts on Fire on Friday. And it's 15 minutes on what's working. And we chop it off right at 15 minutes. But it's those little bitty, what you would call deposits that we're making that make a significant difference in sharing the wins.
Yeah. I had a conversation this morning and she was, Pam was telling me that, Pam Martin, she was telling me that, like she's just kind of shifted a little bit right now to focus on when she's talking with sellers, kind of on the coming soon process and really getting them to understand, that component. So there's always moves, right? We talk about that from Ben Horowitz's book, Hard Thing About Hard Things. The only time you don't have a move is just when you give up. So there's always an angle, there's always an opportunity. and what's that message that's going to resonate with who your audience is? And I know Kyle Davis here in Norman is really running hard with the offer, cash offer. And he actually, just bought his first home with that offer. And so, you know, those people are listening to that message, and it's a message that, you know, Stace and Reedy still run to this day in the Lawton, you know, in the Lawton market, the guaranteed, you know, your home sold guaranteed, or I'll buy it. And it's those type of messages that are really starting to, you know, continue to really start to resonate for a lot of people.
I read an article in Inman this morning, and it said that, and this was a survey that was done in second quarter, and it said 65% of Americans or homeowners would consider taking $45,500 less for their home for a cash offer for convenience and timing. Now, obviously the third quarter, you know, maybe those numbers are different, but it just tells you how robust that offer was. Maybe that was because so many people had so much equity. And maybe it was because those offers were potentially, you know, overvalue or close enough to value that they were able to walk, you know, that they wanted the convenience. But I believe that it'll be interesting next year of what that messaging, what the true messaging will be for the consumer as far as resonating. And then again, you have the disposition piece of, as all that inventory hits the market, how will that affect, you know, pricing? So I think for agents, they just got to really be a student of the game. You know, like Jay always says, you don't have to be the smartest one, just sit next to them. And so I think you really got to know your market data, know your numbers in your market, and really understand, be able to ask, you know, I was listening to a podcast the other day, and a gentleman's like, is like, when you're sitting in an appointment, there's a certain point where there's a change in body language, and that should be the indication that you need to stop talking and you need to start listening. And so I think we need to be better listeners and really understand what problems we can solve for the consumer. Cause if you're not solving the consumer's problem, then you're not going to get them to engage, and there's not an opportunity there.
Yeah. That's so good. Because what are you, you know, I know you pay attention on kind of higher level as well with a lot of these other companies and kind of what's going on out there. I know a lot of the mom and pops, a lot of the independents, you know, are concerned, they're nervous, but there's also some big boys out there that are having some challenges. And, you know, I had a great conversation with old Cliffy Monday night at boot camp, and, you know, he's, you know, his outlook is it's going to be interesting for some of these big boys in the coming quarters. Anything, because I know you're so deep into even paying attention to these companies. Anything that need to be thinking about?
Or well, there's a lot of them that weren't making money when it was the best real estate market we've ever had, and I think it's only going to get tougher for those companies. It's really hard to right the ship and turn it to profitability when you've got 30%, 40% less sales than you had, and you know, going into a dark winter and then coming out into next year, we'll see how things go. But I think, yeah, there's going to be several companies that struggle. A lot of these newer up and coming ones that are kind of competitors of ours are, they're not profitable, and, you know, it's going to be hard to raise money. You know, come time to raise money, it's going to be difficult for them to be able to continue. So I think we'll see, you know, if you guys remember the company Help You Sell?
Yeah.
So like when they went out of business, they had, I can't remember the exact number, but it was in the thousands of franchises. And, you know, by all means, they looked like they were doing really well, but when the market shifted, because they were operating on such thin margins, they couldn't survive and they went under. And so, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if we see a few headlines like that over the course of the next couple of years with these companies that just their margins are just too tight.
Yeah. You know, you, I forget how you put it. It was a few months ago. You were studying something and you said, you know, I forget how you put it, but it's not like history actually repeats itself, but it gives you the indicators of what's to come. Do you remember what that was?
History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. Always rhymes.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, there's nuances and things that are different about this downturn, but there's this ebb and flow that's always been around. And, you know, if you pay attention to it, you know, you kind of can see this was coming. May not be look exactly the same as it did in 07 and 08, but there are certainly some similarities, you know, to what we're going to be experiencing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a
Jay, good t-shirt. Yeah. Jay, you'll get a kick out of this. I was, so my wife was bugging me for like probably for 5 years now, these couple of boxes sitting in my storage room that I haven't moved. And so she's like, what the heck are these? And so I said, man, those are like my coaching stuff. So I opened these up. It was last Sunday. I opened this box up and I started pulling out all the old Ken DeRee stuff, like back from 2009 when I joined you guys in the coaching, and I got all my binders from the masterminds. But anyway, I was looking at all this stuff, and I found my short sale, my packet on my short sale campaigns of all my oversized jumbo newsletters. And I got sitting right next to my desk.
And
I actually got the order sheet for Got Print. I have everything. And we're firing that baby back up here the first of the year. But it's so when you go back to, like, you know, history repeating itself, it was a blast from the past. But
like, all that stuff is super relevant again.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good. Yeah. Just being able to look at it. Hey, there's a reason why we don't throw that stuff out, right?
Right. Absolutely.
It's so good. Hey, I know we're about to wrap up here. Any final thoughts, things to kind of think about as we're wrapping up the year, heading into 23, Kev?
You know, I would just say from a leadership standpoint, for, you know, people that are running teams, is pour into your people and make sure that you're either teaching or you're listening, because there's a lot to be learned. Who has what you want, and then go study them. And for the new agents, they need to really commit to the process. Again, be students, put the time in, and understand where their highest skill set is, and then really just really pour into that. And a gentleman told me that last night, where it was talking last night on the podcast, was about there's a certain point where you need to acquire the knowledge, and then there's the certain point where you make the shift and you focus on your competitive advantage. And that's where watching and listening to things like this is obviously going to give those people that competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Cuz, final thoughts?
Yeah, become the student. I mean, this is definitely the time for you to be doubling down on the data and understanding the marketplace, and so you can be a voice of reason in the marketplace and actually help people, you know, with the content you're creating and things of that nature. So be a student of the game. Obviously, I'm always a big promoter of Keeping Current Matters. I still listen to it every month. It's where I get most of my knowledge. I think it's the most compiled resource that there is out there. So make sure you're due diligence and be a good listener and genuinely care about people. I think that's how you really survive through a time like this.
Well said, fellas. Well, I know this was a treat, and having you guys both jump in and just deliver a ton of valuable insight and information and knowledge. And I know we'll have to do it again. Awesome. We'll see you guys. Man.
Appreciate y'all.
Happy holidays. We're going to continue to speak from the heart, bring all the things that are working for us. So, please make sure you subscribe, hit the like button, and we'll keep bringing the fire and help you grow your business.